Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 14th of November, 2018. I'm your host, Cyril Gerald Quinn, discussing the world of sports and pop culture. Glad to be with you this evening. As always, we are streaming live here on my YouTube channel. You can check out my channel, subscribe to my channel, go to YouTube and look up Real Deal Podcast. Appreciate all the support, all the subscriptions, all the, questions, comments. You can always comment at the bottom of my page. I do not disable my comments, so I welcome any comments. I respect your opinion, agree or disagree. So you can definitely do check that out. We stream live on YouTube. We also will be available via Blog Talk Radio in about 3 or 4 hours. I will try to have the podcast up via Blog Talk Radio, somewhere between 11 and 11:30. This podcast will be available through YouTube at least within the next half hour or so. So you have that. We are all over as far as different platforms. Anchor. You can find us on Anchor. You can find us on iTunes.apple.com, Real Deal Podcast. So we are all over the place, Facebook, Instagram as well. Lot to do on this busy Tuesday. We're going to begin with top stories. Number one, there are reports coming out that Golden State, that this Kevin Durant, Draymond Green situation may cause Kevin Durant to leave Golden State. I mean, you have an anonymous player saying that he believes Durant will leave Golden State. You have teammates, reports that teammates will be willing to recruit Kevin Durant following this situation. So bottom line is, forget about losing the game against the Clippers. It was a great game, by the way. Clippers are actually playing well. They are actually fun to watch. Forget about that part of it. I know, Golden State was able to win against Atlanta last night. This is about the idea, and I'll take the basketball part first. Number one, Kevin Durant. I've watched the video numerous times. Kevin Durant completely overreacted. Okay, there he could. Draymond Green got the rebound with about 4 seconds left. Kevin Durant was a good 2 or 3 feet behind Draymond Green. So if he turns the pass on the ball, that's going to take at least a second, maybe a second and a half off the clock. Kevin Durant might have had 2.5, maybe 3 seconds tops to get up the court to get off a shot. Impossible? No. But is it ideal to pass the ball behind somebody that far ahead of you? The only thing I knocked Draymond Green from a basketball standpoint for is the fact that he didn't get a shot off. So then, from Draymond Green's perspective, it's like, dude, we won a championship without you, number one. We beat you, remember? Your last game in Oklahoma City, we put you and Russell Westbrook out the playoffs in the Western Conference Finals, down 3-1 in 2016. Okay. Now, Kevin Durant, since he's gotten to Golden State, has been Kevin Durant. I mean, finals, back-to-back finals MVPs. He's playing phenomenal this year, playing at an all-NBA level, playing at a MVP caliber level. I looked up his stats today. Phenomenal. I mean, 27, 7, 7, shooting 53% from the field. Playing like the best player in the world. And he, in my opinion, I say this and I'll continue to say this, Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. Okay. But again, if I'm Draymond Green, if I felt like he overreacted as a spectator, as somebody who was just watching it from, 3,000 miles away, what is Draymond Green thinking? So, to me, I think that when I see this situation from afar, I think this is something that was that's been festering over time. I think this is how Draymond Green and maybe some of his teammates really feel in regards to Kevin Durant's pending free agency. I think there might be a sense of, You need to take care of me and Klay first. I mean, me as far as Draymond Green, take care of us first before you get to Durant. I think that's part of that that's going to be a part of the equation. Because remember, Klay Thompson's a free agent after this season, okay, in 2019, unrestricted. Draymond Green will be a free agent in 2020. And those are two core players that have been there from the start of this thing, from even when Golden State wasn't a playoff team. So there's a lot of stuff going on with Golden State. I thought the organization did a bad job by suspending Draymond Green, in essence, taking Kevin Durant's side. So if you want to have a conversation, listen, there's no pleasing Kevin Durant. He's going to get the Supermax contract. He has all, this guy makes over $50 million in endorsements. Like, there's no, like, what is Golden State going to learn from that standpoint? You can't please this dude. He's in the best basketball situation, culture in the league by far. He's in Silicon Valley as far as tech goes. He can starting businesses. And there's no pleasing Kevin Durant. You just can't please him. So if Golden State thinks that they can appease Durant by suspending Draymond Green, it's not going to happen. Like, he still was upset. That's not going to change. You think that's not going to have any impact on Kevin Durant returning to Golden State next year? You suspend Draymond Green. And I'm sorry, if I'm a player on Golden State, if I'm Steph Curry, if I'm Andre Iguodala, if I'm Klay Thompson, I'm not kissing Kevin Durant's ass to stay. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. We have the best team, period. Okay? We can win 5 or 6 championships in a row. It's not out of the realms of possibility. If you want to bounce, step. Bounce. I can't. We can't do anything more to... You're going to get all the money, all the endorsements. You're going to get every. This is a perfect situation. It cannot get any better than this from a basketball standpoint. So I'm not recruiting you. I'm sorry. I'm just not recruiting you. F it. If you want to bounce, just go. We don't. If you don't want to be here, then you don't have to. Then we don't want you here. That'd be my attitude. Not kissing Kevin Durant's ass to stay in Golden State. If I'm Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. I'm just not. Now, Steve Kerr, the organization, the management, that's a whole different story. Ownership, different story. As a player, if I'm one of those core players, nah. That's all there is to it. So stay tuned. This will be a ongoing situation for the rest of the season. And again, this is the only thing that can stop Golden State. This is inner turmoil. This is the only team that can beat Golden State is Golden State, period. The American League has a new Cy Young Award winner, Blake Snell of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, won the award 21-5 over this season. He had a 1.89 ERA, 178 batting average against. One of the great seasons in recent memory, to be honest with you. You have a 1.8. To have an ERA under 2 in the American League with a DH is phenomenal. Now, 180 innings. You want to knock him for not going at least 200 innings. You know, be my guest if that's what you want to do. But the bottom line is, this guy clearly deserved the award. He spearheaded the Tampa Bay's late run that almost, you know. That came up a little bit short in terms of making the wild card. And again, this guy is going to be around for a long time. 21 and 5, 1.89 ERA, had a tremendous year, beat out Verlander and Kluber. I thought if Sale would have been healthy, I think Sale would have had a legit chance shot had he been healthy, but it would have been hard, even hard pressed. To beat out Blake Snell, just had, again, a tremendous year. and wins his very first Cy Young Award in American League. Again, National League will come out tomorrow. I think it's going to be between DeGrom and Scherzer. I think DeGrom, it's hard. I wonder if Scherzer would have people would have voter's fatigue with Scherzer. I wonder about that. So that could go either way. I would lean towards DeGrom, but wouldn't be surprised whatsoever if Scherzer comes out with another Cy Young Award. So Le'Veon Bell decides to sit out the season, and basically give up $14.5 million. And I'm thinking to myself, if you're Le'Veon Bell's agent, if you are somebody close confidant, inner circle, family member, somebody that he trusts, did you really put thought to this move? And did like was this I just wonder what was this the best outcome for Le'Veon Bell, or one of the best case scenarios for Le'Veon Bell? I was just wondering about that, giving up $14.5 million. You're dealing with an organization in Pittsburgh which does not give in to non-quarterbacks as far as paying top dollar for the most part. And Antonio, now again, Antonio Brown got his money because Antonio Brown plays a position with the game, with the way the game is being played, that is a premium, that is a prime premium position. Wide receiver has become having a top wide receiver has just become extremely important in today's NFL. And so Antonio, so that, and then again, Antonio Brown has been arguably the best wide receiver in football for the past 3 to 4 years. But for a running back, I'm not paying top dollar for a running back. You watch what James Conner has done this season. And to me, it's no question who won this battle. Pittsburgh won this battle in a landslide. Not only did they not have to pay Le'Veon Bell his money, you're talking about they could win a Super Bowl without him. They could have found their next running back of the future in James Conner, a guy who was still on a rookie deal and will be on a rookie deal for the next 2 years, and a guy who comes off as appreciative. As far as, hey, I'm happy to be playing football. I'm gonna take advantage of this opportunity. And he's been great. He's played great. Jen Connor has played, outside of Todd Gurley, Connor has played as well, has played as well as any running back in the league, to be honest with you. And should make the Pro Bowl. So again, Le'Veon Bell got what he wanted from the standpoint of becoming a unrestricted free agent for 2019. But it did it have to cost you $14.5 million to do so? That's a question that he'll be able to, think about for the for the rest of the off for the rest of the offseason. Like I'm saying, I can tell that he's not dealing with top agents because a top agent is going to be able to get you your money in the future and get you your money for 2018. There's no way an agent worth his weight in gold is going to have you sit out the entire season or advise that, even if that was your just even if it's something that you thought about doing or wanted to do. A top agent will talk you out of that shit, period. So who knows? I mean, again, it sounds like this was a Le'Veon Bell decision. I don't know how much he listened to the people close to him. I just don't know from that. I don't know. I'm not in his inner circle, but there had to be a scenario. To me, sitting there from looking from the outside, and there has to be a scenario from Le'Veon Bell to where I don't have to forfeit $14.5 million. And I'm telling you right now, don't think that this is going to set some type of precedent moving forward. Who, like, what in the NFL? These guys don't, NFL players don't make money, don't make top dollar like that. NFL players, they're not swimming in endorsements. That's basketball, okay? That's tennis, golf. Those top guys are making all the money as far as endorsements. Baseball and basketball are getting all, getting paid the top salaries. Football players, they deserve more for what they put their bodies to physically, but they, to give up $14.5 million. I mean, you telling me you can't talk to Pittsburgh organization, you can't, talk to, Kevin Colbert and ownership, and you're like, look, set out the amount of time that I set out. I want to come back, help the team win a Super Bowl. If I come back, will I be free to go as an unrestricted free agent? Will you transition tag me? Yes or no? It's just that simple. I mean, I wonder if that question was asked to from Le'Veon Bell towards the Pittsburgh organization. So Pittsburgh moves on. The team is rolling. They haven't missed a beat. Again, I told you this before. Even when James Conner had a couple so-so games, I told you, offense is not the issue with this team. The thing, the issue that they're having, they've kind of cleaned it up. So in their late last four or five games, the issue they were having was defense. They weren't getting to the quarterback, and their back end was getting lit up in terms of their secondary. They've cleaned up those two things. Now the schedule's about to get rough. Now they're about to start playing some real teams, some contending teams. So we'll get a sense of to see how good they are. But Pittsburgh right now is playing as well as any team in football. And again, Le'Veon Bell, they don't need him. They don't need Le'Veon Bell to, at all. So we'll see how this turns out. If you're a Pittsburgh fan, again, you got the best of everything. You might have a future star in James Conner. You're gonna get a compensatory pick if Le'Veon Bell signs a top contract, which he will. Somebody's gonna give him money. I mean, he hasn't committed a crime. He doesn't have the scarlet letter on him. He's gonna get his money. He didn't play this season, so that's one less. I know he's about to turn 27, but that's one less year of wear and tear on his body. So the next team will reap the benefits from that. So he's going to get his money. Somebody's going to give him money. I don't know who, but somebody with cap space will make Le'Veon Bell the highest paid running back in NFL history. You can take that to the bank. I'll put money on that right now. And with that being said, Pittsburgh will get a mid to late round draft pick from that. So the Oregon, again, this is why Pittsburgh has six Super Bowls. We're gonna be consistent. We're not gonna let a player dictate what's best for him versus what's best for our organization. That's what the great organizations do. That's why New England is New England. It's just that simple. Forty-one minutes after the 7 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Glad to be with you here on this Wednesday evening as we get closer towards Thanksgiving. It's amazing. Thanksgiving is basically a week away. Thanksgiving, came early this year. Last year, I felt like it was at the last week of the last Thursday in November. But Christmas, Christmas, Thanksgiving, all the holiday season is we're right in the midst of it. You had the college football playoff selection, and the same four were at the top. So there's no real news to report on that, other than the fact that the thing about the college football playoff before it's actually will be decided, in terms of who the four teams are going to be, is always looking at the scenarios. If this team loses, if that team loses. Can a two loss team enter, and so on and so on. I'm gonna shut one down that for good, and you can take again You could put money on this. You can take this however you want it. The idea that a one-loss Alabama team will not be in the playoffs is insane. Okay? It's insane. There's nowhere in the world that a one-loss Alabama team will not make the playoffs. There's no way. Alabama has shown themselves to be clearly the best team in college football. I'm not saying that they're unbeatable. Clemson's playing great right now. Clemson be the only team right now that I would give a shot, a puncher's chance to be Alabama. I love how Michigan's playing, but Michigan doesn't have enough offense to me. Don't trust the quarterback. Notre Dame, I don't think it's on that level, to be honest with you. And I don't see any other team that would even remotely threaten Alabama. There's no other team out there that would come within two touchdowns of Alabama, 17 or even 21 points outside of Clemson. Again, now Mississippi State played well. I give Mississippi State a lot of credit. They played great defense, held Alabama, 300 yards of offense, 24 points. Alabama was putting up easily over 50 a game for the most part over the course of the season. So Mississippi State did a tremendous job. But last Saturday, but in a playoff situation with the money on the line, money on the table, there's only one team I think that this year, in 2018, has a chance of beating Alabama, and that's in the playoffs, and that's Clemson. With that being said, if somehow, and it's not impossible because we know how loaded Georgia is with talent. There's no way in the world that a one-loss Alabama team will not get into the playoffs. I think if everything goes, according to plan, so to speak, and there are no major upsets, if everybody wins out, Michigan State wins out, Notre Dame wins out, if Clemson wins out, Georgia wins out, the team that's going to get left out is Michigan. The team's going to be Michigan. Right now, Clemson's number two. They have championship pedigree. They have a history with these playoffs. They're not getting left out. It's no chance. Notre Dame is Notre Dame. There's no way an undefeated Notre Dame team is not going to the playoffs. No way. One loss Notre Dame is a whole different story. Undefeated Notre Dame team, zero chance that undefeated Notre Dame team will not be in the playoffs. It just will not happen. Michigan would be the odd team out. And there's no way that a one-loss SEC championship team in Georgia would not go to the playoffs. So you would have Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, and Clemson. Those will be your four teams if Alabama were to lose and everybody else wins out. Ohio State needs a lot of help. Oklahoma needs a lot of help. Those teams, West Virginia needs a lot of help. A lot. But this idea that a one-loss Alabama team doesn't get in the playoffs this year? Nah. Mm-mm. See, I didn't think, and to be honest with you, last year, I thought that maybe they won't get in. Then, you looked at it, you took a step back and say, it's Alabama. It's Alabama. And you know what? They've earned it. They've earned it. We're in the midst there. We are in the midst of one of the great dynasties that of the 21st century that maybe that we've ever seen. Like, really, you're gonna really appreciate what you're watching with Alabama probably 10 to 15 years down the road. It's remarkable, year in, year out. And it goes beyond just getting top recruits. There's a lot of teams that get top recruits. Oklahoma gets top recruits. Clemson gets top recruits. There's a lot of teams that get top recruits. Florida State gets top recruits. So it's just not the players. I mean, just at a certain point, love them or hate them, Nick Saban, could go down as the greatest college coach ever. And that's a term I respect. History, like Bear Bryant, Nuke Rodney, I respect the past. And because I would never call Bill Belichick the greatest coach ever. I think that if your name is on the Super Bowl trophy, that's for a reason. And that's Vince Lombardi, period. But it gets to a certain point to where it's like all this guy does is win, and win at a level to where a one, a couple of years ago, when Alabama was in a if you want to call it a mini drought where they hadn't won a championship in 2 years. I think they went back to back. They went 3 and 4 years. So they went 2009. No, excuse me. They went 3 and 5 years. So they went 08, 2011 and 12. And then they had a mini drought where 13, 14, and 13 and 14, they didn't win. And I want to say, I think 15 as well. They won last year. They won last year. That was 17. Clemson won the year before. So 15. So they won 15. But they went 2 years. No, right. They went 2 years without winning it. 13 and 14. And then people call this like, well, Nick Saban, is he have, is he in trouble? Is he lost his touch? I'm like, he just won three championships in 5 years. Because they won, right, Clemson sandwiched in. They won 15 and 17. So Clemson sandwiched in 2016. So, again, we're going to look back at all sports, whether it's the NBA, hockey, pro sports, college sports. We're going to look back at this dynasty, and it's going to be regarded as one of the great dynasties in recent sports history, period. This is something that I frankly have never seen since even beyond what Miami did in the 80s, even beyond what Nebraska, Florida State. I mean, this is going back. This is something that we've never seen in recent memory, what's going on with Alabama this year. I mean, excuse me, since in the last decade. So it'll be interesting to see, again, if Alabama loses. That's if they lose. If Alabama loses, I don't have a lot of faith in Georgia right now, the way they're playing. But it's possible. SEC championship. Georgia is not going to be fearful at all. Kirby Smart. No Saban. So even though Saban destroys all his assistants. So again, Georgia, it's not a major upset if Georgia takes out Alabama, but right now, but there's no question that a one loss Alabama team will get into the playoffs. So Alabama fans, I wouldn't be sweating it. I wouldn't even be worried about it if I'm an Alabama fan. I would be preparing myself to get my tickets ready, take some personal time. I'll be getting ready, prepping myself for the playoffs because you're going to the playoffs. Josh Norman, Mr. Norman, criticize Washington fans for lack of support during home games. Norman basically called out fans following a victory against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that helped raise the record. Washington 6-3. This is something that I'm sure has been simmering for the entire season. If you're a fan, if you're a player on the team, and there was a time where the fan base in DC was the best, amongst the best in the league, top three, top five, top three. That has, without question, faded away, and rightfully so. The team has been, a joke for the better part of the last 25, 26 years. One playoff win since 2005. I could do 20 podcasts on how inept they've been as a franchise, as an organization over the past quarter century. The bottom line is, and we've heard this phrase numerous times, customer's always right. You cannot piss on the people. I can call out fans doing what I do for selling their tickets or for not showing up. Because to be honest with you, the team hasn't been terrible the last 4 years. 2015, they win a division, lose to Green Bay. 2016, they went 9-7, came up just a game short of making the playoffs. Last year, they were playing somewhat meaningful games in December. So really, over the last 3-4 years, they've played a number of meaningful games in December. So they haven't been, you know, haven't been the Browns or what the Raiders have looking like this year. But I understand people not showing up. I called fans out years ago on this podcast and told Washington fans, don't stop going to the games. If you want to make a statement, stop complaining. Don't tweet. Don't even write letters. Just don't go to the games. You want to hit somebody, you hit them in the pocket where it counts. Now, some of y'all have been late to the party because I felt like, you know, you could have stopped going to games years ago. Years ago. But if you're Josh Norman, you can't, you're not going to win this battle. Especially criticizing the fans after a win. I mean, jeez, what are you upset about? You just got a good win in Tampa. I know the game was ugly, but you've been winning ugly all year long, so there's nothing new. Defense played well. Well, it was a bend but don't break. I mean, Tampa Bay did almost have 500 yards of offense, let's be honest. But again, defense made enough plays, held them, you know, with some help from Tampa, the 3 points, and you got out there with a win, which, you know, a conference road win. You can't ask for much more outside of a divisional road win. So just be grateful for that win, man. Don't, like, come on. Be grateful for that win. But again, you can't piss on the people. You just can't do it. I'm saying you gotta kiss the fans' asses now. Just take the win and go home. That's all you gotta do. Take the win and go home. So a lot going on with the NBA right now. The NBA is the new Days of Our Lives. The NBA is the new Dynasty Dallas, you know. Well, God, lights not on him. General Hospital. The NBA is nonstop drama. You can't get enough of it because it doesn't matter what day of the week. It doesn't matter if there are no games on. It doesn't matter if there are no good games on. There's always something to talk about in the NBA. And the NBA, you know, Adam Silver loves it. Adam Silver loves it like this. I don't know necessarily Stern did. If David Stern would have liked this type of NBA, especially, he definitely would have liked the player empowerment. He would have hated that. That would have drove him into retirement just alone. But Adam Silver loves us talking about the NBA 24/7. And you see Jimmy Butler and Carmelo Anthony. And, you know, well, I'll go Jimmy Butler first. Jimmy Butler, you know, if you're a Sixer fan, you have to be excited by the move. You had to make the move, even though I, you know, would have been reluctant to put Sarge in that deal because I like Sarge. But you had to make the move because the bottom line is you have three of the top 15, 20 players in the league. My problem with the Sixers, and they're to me their biggest problem besides not having enough shooting, is Brett Brown. I don't think Brett Brown is that dude to take you to a championship. I just don't think he's that guy. I understand he comes from the pedigree from San Antonio. Decent coach, but I don't think he's taking you to a championship. But putting that aside, you know, Jimmy Butler, I think Jimmy Butler will fit in from a standpoint of, listen, he's going to get his shots. He's going to get his shots. Some of the issues that he had with Karl Anthony Towns, and with Andrew Wiggins, he will not have with Ben Simmons or with Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons don't have to be convinced on playing hard, being motivated, wanting to win a championship. That's not an issue with those two. It just will not be an issue at all. So, I think if you're Jimmy Butler, this is a ideal situation. You have a chance to sign a mega extension. You are in a major market. You are with two of the best young players in the NBA. Embiid is playing like an MVP right now. Ben Simmons is fine, despite what people talk about early struggles. I don't see it. So I think this is a ideal, perfect situation. We're gonna learn about this situation. Is Jimmy Butler a cancer? And I'm not talking about signs. We're gonna learn if he's, TO-ish. Because if he's not happy here, then where is he gonna be happy? He's gonna get his shots. He's in a team that legitimately has a chance to get to the finals, even though I think they're still behind Philly, excuse me, behind Toronto and Boston in the pecking order in the Eastern Conference. So what does Jimmy Butler really want? We know, I mean, is it about, forget about the money, he's gonna get paid. Does he want to win a championship, or does he just want to be the guy, or is he just a cancer? We're gonna find out. And again, if you're Philadelphia, you can easily flip him. If it doesn't work out, you have plenty of time to flip him during the trade deadline in February. So I wouldn't even wait the entire season. Like I'm saying, if it doesn't, it's November 14th, but trade deadline is middle of February, so that is a good, that's 2.5 to 3 months of finding out whether we can win a championship with this guy, or whether this is going to be a guy who we're even interested in re-signing in the future, for the future. But again, it's a move that you had to make for Minnesota. Listen, Minnesota got good pieces back. You got Sarge and Covington are both, what, 26 and under? Sarge is maybe, what, 24, 25. So you got two young pieces who are, who are on good contracts. Covington is a two-way player that is a prime defensive player, streaky shooter, not a great three-point shooter, streaky, but is a guy. Covington is a guy who can defend, who is a valuable asset in this league because he can defend perimeter players. He can defend multiple perimeter players from point guards to small forwards. Sarge is a guy who, to me, has untapped potential. I'm not getting, I don't think Sarge has all-star potential. I think Sarge could be a 16 to 18 point guy in this league, maybe on a championship caliber team, maybe a 14 to 15, a 14 to 16 point, 14 to 16 point guy, 6 to 7 rebounds, maybe even a great six man. I think Sarge, like, I don't, I'm not quite, I know Sarge has talent, but I'm not quite sure where Sarge fits on a championship caliber team. I still think that needs to be figured out. As far as what he can, depending on the team. Again, for Minnesota, to me, he's perfect for Minnesota if he's utilized the correct way. Again, Tom, who knows if Tom Thibodeau is going to be there at the end of the season or going into next season. But again, I think this idea that Minnesota got nothing, that's not including the draft pick. This idea that Minnesota didn't got fleeced or something, right? It's ridiculous considering the fact that, again, you can also look at this too as a addition by subtraction. Karl Anthony Towns now will be an all-star, all NBA caliber player. So he'll go from being average to all NBA. Just the fact, just on the sake, just by the subtraction of just Jimmy Butler not being on the show, not the show, but not on the team. Addition by subtraction. Again, that night that Jimmy Butler was traded, Karl Anthony Towns, or the night before, he had 39 and 19. That was not a coincidence. Those players knew that Jimmy Butler was on his way out. Trust me. Can't keep a secret in the NBA. It's almost impossible. In social media age, and people just love to talk. Love to talk. So I think this will work out for both teams. Again, if you're the Sixers, you almost had to make this move. Almost had to make this move. So they Sixers had their big three. We'll see what Brett Brown can do with those three. Again, it's going to take some time. They still need some shooting. Jimmy Butler needs to know his place on that team. He is the second scorer, third option on that team. Second scorer, third option. You cannot have a situation where you have Ben Simmons playing off the ball. It's not going to happen. Jimmy Butler, if anyone that needs to play off the ball is Jimmy Butler from the standpoint. That offense should be ran through Ben Simmons from a standpoint of handling the ball. Embiid is by far and away the number one option in terms of he should be receiving the majority of the touches. So as long as Jimmy Butler doesn't disrupt that pecking order, I think the Sixers will be fine. Again, he does not have to motivate these guys. They don't need any motivation from those two guys, from Embiid, in terms of Embiid and Simmons. As far as Carmelo Anthony goes, you know, contrary to a lot of people, I'm a Carmelo fan. I'm looking at this guy's career, and you look at 25,000 points, 3 Olympic gold medals, a national championship, 10 All-Star appearances, 6 times on the All-NBA team, and you say, obviously Hall of Fame, what's the problem? Well, number one, he was in the same draft as LeBron James and Dwayne Wade, and to a lesser extent, Chris Bosh. I think that when Carmelo first came in the league, in terms of what I expected, I thought he was going to be a prime scorer. I thought he was a guy who could be a good player, could be an all-star caliber player on a playoff team. And he was an all-star player on a playoff team. Not that many playoff teams, but he, you know, Denver made the playoffs a couple times when he was there, or made the playoffs every year that he was there. Western Conference Finals 2009, played the Lakers tough. He got to the Knicks. He made a mistake. If you want to call it a mistake as far as winning, he could have easily waited for the Knicks to pick him up as a free agent, and they wouldn't have had to move all those pieces to get him. Gallinari, Wilson Chandler, and so on. But I'm just looking at the totality of Carmelo Anthony's career. I'm like, I think 98% of players who ever played basketball would take his career. Like, they would take all those accolades and $232 million. So to me, I don't have a problem with Carmelo Anthony. I think that he's reached a point in his career where he doesn't fit, because he's not willing to be that intangible guy, you know, get on the floor for loose balls, defend at a high level. He's just not that dude. So to me, at this point, it's the job of a team to recognize that he's not that guy. He's not going to ever become that guy, so we have no use for him. Because you think about it, he's never been a prime defensive player, been adequate even in his prime. Okay, this is year 16. He spent the majority of his career being, quote unquote, the guy. And now you're asking him to be, you know, a glorified role player, spot up 3-point shooter. Okay, you don't touch the ball for 3 or 4 minutes. Watch Chris dribble, watch James dribble, watch Russell dribble, watch Paul shoot. Wasn't going to work out. And again, I don't blame Oklahoma City, because that was worth the risk. I blame Houston. Come on, you saw what last year looked like. I mean, Carmelo Anthony is done. He's done. And you know what? This is year 16. Not too many players in NBA history are playing at an all-star, all-NBA caliber level in year 16. It just doesn't happen. So I think, again, I don't like telling people when they should retire, but you probably should retire at this point. Probably should retire. So we'll see what happens. Again, I don't see a fit for Carmelo Anthony. If he can't fit in on two veteran teams with championship aspirations, how does he make sense for a young team that's trying to get to the playoffs? Yeah. Doesn't make sense for a Sacramento. It doesn't make sense for Denver. Doesn't make sense, you know, for Milwaukee. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of his season plays out. But again, the guy, Hall of Famer, has been a all-star caliber player for the majority of his career, won a national championship, was the best player in college basketball in 2003 without question. As a freshman, 18 years old, was the best player in college basketball. I'll never forget that year with the run that Syracuse made throughout the course of that tournament. destroyed Texas in that semifinal game. In that semifinal game, killed them, destroyed them. Seven minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Again, great to be with you as we go full, you know, head into the, as we are in the holiday season. As my mother enjoys her Hallmark and Lifetime. Like Hallmark basically put Lifetime not out of business, but as far as some of the people I know that watched Hallmark, who watched Lifetime, it seems like Hallmark is just taking over. So definitely shout out to my mom's, you know, she'll get this podcast, and shout out to everybody, all the family who enjoy this podcast all across the country and frankly all over the world. I had a couple things I wanted to get to. So there's been this, seems like two things have been ongoing over the past couple of weeks. That's politics with the election and mental illness. I bought the Charlemagne book, Shook Ones, Mind Playing Tricks on Me. I'm about 40 pages into it, so I definitely recommend it. And I just, you know, I've been having conversations with people about therapy, getting thoughts on, you know, what they think about it. And we just, I mean, just organic conversations, nothing that's even been premeditated. And you see what's happening with the California wildfires. You saw what happened with these mass shootings in Thousand Oaks, Las Vegas, a couple of weeks back. And the one constant is mental illness in some form, shape, or capacity. And, you know, I think that it's easy to get caught up in our day-to-day lives as far as, you know, work, you know, gym, for me, podcasting, or a second job. If you have children's education, you know, if you are taking care of a loved one, an older parent, or what have you, just a bunch of things that we deal with over the course of our lives. And to me, you know, I think that you have to find a way two things. I think one, to protect your energy. Negativity is like a cancer. It can take over. It can cause anxiety. It can cause paranoia. It can cause you, it can take years off your life, you know. Negative energy. I'm very cognizant and protective of my energy and self-care. And when I mean self-care, I'm not just talking about going to the gym. That's cool. I'm not even just talking about eating right. That's necessary as well. I'm just talking about just really taking time to, you know, just sit down sometimes. Just sit down. Not even think about what you're going to do tomorrow, thinking about the dinner, you know, thinking about what, you know, what's on television, social media. Just, you know, just be still. So, you know, I think that I enjoy the conversations about mental health, therapy. I've had some passionate conversations with folks, with some peoples about that. And I feel like if that's something that's for you, then do it. Do it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Don't let anybody say, well, you know, just pray on it. Yeah, you know what? You're allowed to pray and go to a therapist. You can do two things. Like, it's not against the rules of the Bible to, you know, go to a therapist. It's not, you know, I don't think that's against God's law, to be honest with you. Use all your resources. Because at the end of the day, you know, you have to deal with yourself. You get to live with yourself 24 hours a day. So I definitely very protective of my energy. I would encourage anyone to be protective of theirs. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Again, this podcast will be available for we're streaming right now. It'll be available on YouTube in the next, I would say, half hour, Blog Talk Radio in about 3 to 4 hours. As always, this is Rillo Gerald Quinn. Thanks for listening. Later.